Good evening, class. We're glad you're with us tonight. 2 years ago in November, I really felt like the Lord challenged me that one of our aspects of faith, our aspects of ministry, and one of the things that we would be attempting to accomplish to the body of Christ, and that is and is today an assignment to raise the level of faith. You've heard me say that. We were praying and the Lord challenged me 2 years ago in November that I would be speaking a lot on faith, and we are doing that. And as you know, we're presently teaching right now on four things. The Lord is my helper from Psalms 126, but we're actually in Psalms 91. But in Psalms 126, it says the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my keeper. The third part, what is the Lord is the overshadowing. And then the fourth one, he is my constant. In other words, he's never ending. His love is never ending. His help is never ending. He is always keeping us, watching over us. We've got to the overshadowing part, and we have been teaching now for the last 3 or 4 weeks just from Psalms 91. And really, I thought this morning we would go to Psalms 91 and 2, okay? And we may do that tonight. But there were the class this morning went such, it was, we prayed for just a special anointing to be on the teaching. It went so totally different than what we had planned to address. Because in my prayer time this morning, we get up early and we go into my study. And when I was praying this morning, I mean, all of a sudden, emphatically, I begin to praying very demonstratively, verse number one in the 91st Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall, that's a command, shall abide underneath the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I think I may have addressed this moment just passing through last Friday night. There's 23 promises in Psalms 91, okay? Read, they're in there. 23 promises. Promises that God said he would do for us. We cannot wait to teach on these, okay? But also out of 23 promises, there's 15 conditions that must be met for the promises to be enforced. The issue, and we addressed this morning, and boy, it just really got so blessed, and we had so much interaction this morning. The issue today is people want the promise. They don't want to meet the conditions, okay? They want all the blessings of Psalms 91, but they don't want to do that first part. If we don't do the first part of Psalms 91, there's none of this other going to take place, okay? But if we do that, then all the 23 promises are for us, and I'm thankful for that, okay? Then when we learn to dwell, okay, when we learn to dwell, we also abide. You cannot, okay, look at those two words, the word dwell and the word abide. Dwell and abide, okay? Now, I don't know the etymology of words. I didn't do good in English, so I cannot get to breaking all this derivational. When they said, let's talk about derivational trees, I thought, are you kidding me? I'm having enough trouble with my family tree. Must go into a derivational tree, whatever that is, okay? So I didn't do good with that kind of thing. But I do know this. When I see the word abide and dwell, they're like two peas in the pod. If I do the dwelling in my secret place, God, because now I'm abiding, God is going to do his part in overshadowing me, okay? And there is the issue that we're facing today, that people are not willing to pay the price of learning to stay in their secret place long enough in the presence of God that we can claim the promises of God. The presence of God goes hand in hand with the promises of God. If we stay in His presence, we get to live in His promise. We understand that. That becomes very powerful in our life. And I'm just telling you, the grace of God, when we're, and that's what I prayed this morning. I said, Father God, thank You for Your grace. Thankful that I'm able to dwell in my secret place. I can stay there. Let me help you with something. Don't rush out of it. Don't get in a hurry to leave it. Don't get in a hurry to run out of it. Stay there. Enjoy the moment. Yeah, worry is, get my phone, Paula, if you don't mind. And it's in the side of my briefcase. And pull in, get on and pull up the camera shot. There was 9 things this morning, and I meant to have read those, because they were awesome. I loved them. There was 9 things that I read to everyone this morning concerning about rest, okay? And I think this goes with Psalms 91. Are you ready for this one? There's 9 things. There's 9 types of rest, okay? Number 1, everybody needs time away. Look to someone right beside you and say, I need time away. Don't go and say, I need time away from you. I need time away. Oh, I honestly, this is powerful, okay? I'm getting the text. This is powerful, okay? Time away. Jesus said to His disciples, come apart, okay? If we don't come apart, we'll come apart, okay? If we don't come apart with Him, we will come apart, okay? Everybody needs time away. Everybody needs time. I don't care how much you love your home. You need time away. We're talking about 9 types of rest. Number 2, Paula loved this one. Permission not to be helpful. Have permission not to be helpful. You don't have to be everybody's answer.
Hallelujah.
I thought for the long, I'm trying to help Pastor Danny with this one. I thought forever I had to be everybody's answer. I had to be everybody's Superman. And I realized after a while, they don't care. In some ways, okay? You know, permission not to be helpful. You don't have to join everybody's army. You don't have to join everybody's cause. No, just find out what your assignment is in life and do that one, okay? If we're not careful, we get so spread out, as the old saying goes, we get a lot of irons in the fire. Guess what happens when that happens? Yeah. Or the old saying, I love this one, the old saying that says, we're burning the candle at both ends. Stupid. There's no better word. I mean, just, you can interpret that one, can't you? You just can't fix stupid. And it's like my cousin, and I know this is recording. It's like my cousins, okay? Mark hunts with them. I mean to tell you, I'll call Kevin. He's probably got 3 houses going out, 2 couple of houses, and he just finished one. And I'll say, man, how's it going? He called me today in the middle of the day. He called me and said, man, I am so ready for this phone to start ringing. I cannot wait to get in the wild blue yonders. Stop ringing, yeah. But when I called him, he said, man, I said, what's up? He said, man, this is his exact words, we are ripping and roaring down here. We are ripping and running, ripping and running, ripping and running. So my uncle calls me, Uncle Bubba calls me this evening. He generally calls me every Thursday when Nate Carroll is getting her hair done. So he calls me today, and because he can't stand, you know, he don't go into the beauty shop with the gossip's going on. He just stays out in his car. He's got to call somebody, so he calls me. And I'm thankful for his 81 years old, and I'm a big influence in his life. I love my uncle. He'll be here tomorrow, okay? So Uncle Bubba calls me this evening, and he said, now, do y'all have that service tonight? I said, yeah, because it's like 5:45. I said, yes, I think I may have been in my study praying then or something. I said, yes, we do have our class tonight. Long story short, he said, man, I better let you go. He said, because, man, I know y'all are busy. And what did I say he told me? This is what he said. He said, I've been running all day. You have my permission not to be helpful to everything that comes along. When you, this is powerful. Honestly, I want to go to two, but we need to address some issues tonight. If you don't do this, you're not going to spend enough time in your secret place. Oh, I just heard that, Holy Spirit. If you're in everybody else's place, you ain't never going to be in your place. Amen. Then that's good preaching for Friday night. Amen. If you're doing everything for everybody, you're not going to have enough time to dwell in your secret place, okay? There is so much anointing and revelation coming. You know, the Bible said that in the early church, I don't want to lose this. In the early church, there was an issue that came up, Melvin, because the church had grown, exponential. I mean, honestly, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. That's a pretty good revival right there. 3,000 people got saved. And then there was priests that got saved, and then the Lord added to the church daily. In the midst of this revival, thousands were saved. The Bible said there was issues that came up with the widows. I want to tell you, if you want some issues in the church, neglect the widows. Yeah. And there was some murmuring going on among the widow women. We're not going to go there tonight, okay? But it got back to the leaders of the church. And this is what they said, okay? It was the administration to the widows that was going, because as you know, in foreign countries and been around the world, Mark's been, how many countries? 30, 40, 50 countries. And we went to tsunami, Mark was with us when the tsunami hit there in Indonesia, and we went to Banda Aceh. There's two things that's neglected around the world, widows and children. The government don't want to take care of either one of those, okay? And so, what was this? Give me track to you. Acts 6 and 4. They said, you know what? We hear what's going on with the widows. Here's the deal. Which one do you want us to take care of? We can neglect the widows and read the Bible and pray. Or we can neglect reading the Bible and praying and take care of the widows. Which one? I taught this at the Assemblies of God district down in southern Missouri. I said, which one do you want us to neglect? Which one is the most important? Well, we know neither one needs to be neglected if there's delegation in the church. But what needs to be happening is this. The men of God need to give themselves to prayer, and you get deacons to take care of the widows. Okay? So you don't have to be a part of everybody's situation. Committee. Business. Being in every meeting's going on. So I give you permission here tonight. You don't always have to be helpful in everything. I know you want to be because you're Superman. Yeah, you got a nest on your chest now. You're just a Superman. But listen to me tonight. You got to have some rest from that. Okay? Number three, I give you the permission tonight to do something unproductive. It don't have to always be work, 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 work. Do something unproductive. And when I say that, and I'm the reason I'm reading these nine to you, thank you. There it is. The reason I'm reading these nine to you is because if you don't take care of these and do what I'm saying on these nine, you're going to rob yourself of your secret place. Everything else is going to be in there but you, okay? So here we go. Do something that's unproductive. It don't always have to be work. And leisure doesn't mean you're lazy, okay? There's some people that would not work, that works in the office all day. For them to have a leisurely Saturday is to be able to work in their yard all day. Are you getting it tonight? It's all right. To be unproductive, you know, and you can count what that is. I don't know if what Mark's doing and remodeling his truck is unproductive. Darlene thinks it is. Or if Melvin, what he's doing, and Charlene probably thinks it is. I don't know. That's meddling. I'm not going to get into that tonight. They may think unproductive is hunting all next week in western Kansas.
Only if you miss.
Yeah, that's right. Only if we miss. Drew's mom and dad, dad and stepmom just got off a 17-year cruise, basic year, 17 years cruise, like around the world and every
circumnavigation. Yeah.
Yeah, off a 55-foot sailboat. To me, that's got to be pretty awesome, my friend. And there are some of you looking at me and saying, wow, I wonder what kind of job he had. I mean, just what you...
It was actually her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if you want to see that, it's called Slipping Out. What is it called? Not Slipping Out.
Slipaway.net.
Slipaway.net. And you can see their whole voyage on, they got a website about it, okay? It's all right to do something that's unproductive. We're driven by work. We think we got to be working all the time, okay? I know this just really works on some of y'all. Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Melvin. Anybody else want to confess? I'm the priest. I can confess and forgive you tonight, okay? Something unproductive. Number four, you got to hear what I'm saying tonight, because I'm dealing with the issue about this resting place, this secret place, this abiding place, this habitation, this lodging place, when nothing matters but being in the presence of Almighty God. That you don't want nothing else. Nothing else matters. No music. The Chiefs playing, Alabama playing, LSU. Nothing matters except that I come into the presence of Almighty God in my secret place. Boy, that's good tonight. Four. Now, the women may like this better than the men. I don't know. They might. Well, it's two things. Connect to art and nature. The women may like the art, and the men may like the nature part. And then it may be different. Some of the men may like the art. Some of the women. You know what? In other words, get out and take a walk. Now, I didn't say take a hike tonight, okay? Take a walk. Me and Miss Paula, when we're down at the lake house, we walk. And last week we went down, what's the name of the street, the little street down through there?
Foggy Creek Road.
I just love the name of the road. It's Foggy Creek Road. And we're low already. It drops off down. It's all the houses that got flooded. Dino and Johnny Morris and all those guys. Mansions, I mean, back in there. And then some of them just totally destroyed. One of them was sitting there still vacant. But the walk was totally amazing. Paula said, oh, I want us to come down here and have a picnic together. Picnicking, as John Wayne would say, picnicking, okay? You remember you watched the show, you just don't know what I'm talking about. It's all right, men and women, to stop the work and have a picnic with your wife. Yeah. Maybe if you'd have more picnicking, she would not be a lot of picnicking. Thank you, Melvin. I'm telling you, this is anointed tonight. I knew I was supposed to address some issues here, and when I get to the end of it, you're going to know why, okay? So, number five, if you're writing these down, solitude to recharge. Solitude to recharge. We're running out of our spiritual battery because we're not learning how to recharge. Okay? To recharge, oh, Holy Spirit, I just heard it. Thank you. To recharge, you must learn to unplug. To recharge, you must learn to unplug. Unplug. Disconnect. 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 Connect. Solitude to recharge. A quiet place. A private place. A secret place. Let me tell you what happens in the morning time. Oh my goodness, time is just getting away from me. But we need to hear this tonight, okay? Let me tell you what happens when you do Psalms 91 and 1, okay? Let me tell you what happens with the first part. When you're doing the A part of Psalms 91 and 1, you are literally recharging your day. You have unplugged, okay? No text, no emails, no phone calls, no the other things that social media, no television, nobody. And you are in your secret place and you are unplugged and Holy Spirit is recharging you. Because this is recent. Listen to what I'm about to say. You have no clue what your day is going to hold. None of us do, because we're not omniscient. We do not know what our day holds, okay? And so solitude, quiet place to recharge, okay? Number six. Are you ready? Number six, a break from responsibility. You think it won't get done if I don't do it. I seen Rita punch Esther. My whole life, Melvin Bunch knows this, my whole life, I live with the concept, when in doubt, take over. Does anybody know I'm a takeover guy? Yeah. Help me, remind me to share the story of President Bush after a while about taking over, okay? Takeover guy. Yeah, I did it. The president. Take over, okay? I reached a place several years back not to do this anymore, and when in doubt, take over. When in doubt, see if anyone else will take over.
Leave.
Yeah. You must break from responsibility. People drain you. Oh, I'm hearing some. I mean, I got cold chills running all over me right now. They are people that are around us that are drainers. They will drain us. I'm going to have a phone call with certain people, and I'm telling you, I have to pray through and get the Holy Ghost all over again when I get off the phone with them. They are drainers. They just drain me emotionally, mentally. I'm telling you, they're so negative, so down and out. The world's coming to an end. Why try? I'm telling you, and there are some people that I'm realizing in my life right now, I don't need them. True success is knowing who you can leave behind and still be successful. Melvin, we know we're not taking everybody with us. We'd love to. We'd love to buy into the fact that no child left behind. But I'm just telling you, be careful. Show me your friends. I will show you your future.
Yes. Sure.
A break from responsibility. Go on strike. I'm giving you the right. I'm giving you that. No, go on strike was the break from responsibility. I'm giving you the right tonight to go on strike. Go on strike. I had a pastor call me, said, I've been fasting and I'm praying. And, oh, I've heard from God. Would you meet with me for lunch? And I said, well, sure. Couldn't meet with nobody else. We were all gone. I said, yeah, I'll meet with you. And so we had met at a Chinese restaurant. We was busy. So I've heard from God. I've heard from God. What? And he kind of showed me his kind of outline. He said, what would you do? I said, go on a strike. I'd shut every ministry down in the church except for this one and this one. Till we heard from God for this year. I prayed it tonight in my study, the prayer of Moses. When God said, Moses, my presence shall go with you. Moses said, listen to what I'm about to say. Moses, right back to God, said, God, I will not take another step without your presence. I wish every church would buy into that.
Amen.
We'll never sing another song. We'll never start another program. We'll never do anything else unless we know that the presence of God is going to be on that program and be in that choir and be in that room. Break from responsibility. Okay? Number 7, stillness to decompress. When was the last time you just said, I'm going to sit still right here? I'm going to decompress. I'm not leaving. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. I just heard that. When you learn, when you go into your secret place, when you learn to leave in there what needs to be left and take away from there what needs to be taken. Did you hear what I just said? Leave it there. Leave it there. The old song, leave it there. Leave it there. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. Don't take it with you. Leave it there. Only take from here the presence of God. In other words, be still. God said, let me give you the word, what the Bible says. And I don't know if they've got it on the screen or can put it on the screen or just Paula can look the scripture up. God said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Don't do nothing till you know that I am God. Be still. I think David said, in my stillness, I became great. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord work. When Moses wanted to do everything as the leader and he got to the Red Sea, I mean, all inward emotions were saying, man, we got to get across the river. We don't have nowhere to get across the river. We got to do this. We got Pharaoh breathing behind us. I got 1.5 to 2 million people that I'm pastoring. We got to get across the river some way. You know what God said? God said, you stand still. If you'll stand still, I'll stand up. Did you get that? If you stand still, I will stand up. If he stand up. The Bible said the water congealed. And in the Greek, in the Hebrew, that means akfa. Akfa. The breath of God. Read your Bible. The breath of God congealed the waters and made jello out of it. It's in there. The waters congealed. How do you congeal? Well, you put water in the freezer and in the coolness, God breathed on the water and the waters congealed. God said, stand still and I'll stand up for you. It's the standing still. We're impatient. Microwaves are not fast enough. The red light doesn't turn fast enough. The people in line of me getting groceries are not moving fast enough. I'm in a hurry, folks. You're in a hurry going to a place that you don't even like. You're in a hurry Monday morning and you're driving down the road and you got your steering wheel up here and you got your laptop on this one and you got the phone on this one and you're driving with one hand and you're putting your lipstick and your makeup on and you're sipping your coffee and you're in such a hurry to a place you hate. Amen. Help us, Lord. Understand that we must take time to decompress. Decompress. Number 8, this is verse number 1. Find a safe place. What is your safe place tonight? What is your safe place? I text this to my children or to my daughter early this morning because she's a legal secretary for the oldest, one of the oldest and one of the largest law firms in the state with 3 offices, Topeka, Wichita, and the demands that is placed upon her from, I don't know how many attorneys that she is doing their work. And I feel like I need, and she sent back, she said, Dad, that was great. I said, well, share it with your coworkers. Everybody needs a safe place. I feel safe here. I feel safe here. Do you have a place that you feel safe in, that you're not being intruded? There's not. We're going to talk about this in all these, what is it? Do we figure 16 verses in this chapter? We're going to talk about a safe place, a place that you will get into that you feel totally safe in. And the last one, okay? You ready for this one? You need alone time, alone, all alone, like home alone, okay? You call it home alone, okay? Alone time at home. You don't always have to be in the social circle. Well, I got to go to this party. I mean, would everybody agree with me now that we're living in a driven world? I mean, people are just driven. It's just, sometimes I think it's a ploy of the enemy, just totally driven. And I made this statement, I think it was last Friday night or Friday morning. We're so busy making a living, we have forgot how to make a life. Someone sent me a long text this morning, and it was words from the preacher that lives on the dirt road. And I'm telling you, I read it. It was in a country, kind of a country lore, but it was so amazing. And he was talking about this very thing, that we're so driven today, and we're so driven, and we don't have time. If you don't do this, my goodness, if you don't do this, he can't do that. If you don't do verse 1, he can't do the other 15 for you. See, and that's why I said all of this, and that's why I read all this, and that's why I have just spent 33 minutes or 35 minutes on this to let you know that we're wanting the promises, but we don't want to do the conditions. We want the policy. We want the premium, the 8 things or 9 things I mentioned 2 weeks ago. We want all of that. We want the policy. We want the premium. We want the plan. We want the provider. We want the promise. We want the position. But we will not pay the price.
Amen.
For this. Oh my. There is a price tag on the presence of God. I want to help you tonight. You just don't jump into the presence of God. You create an atmosphere for His presence that He feels very comfortable in. No wonder the Bible symbolically, when Jesus was baptized, the Bible said that His Father spoke from heaven, "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." The Bible said it was like a dove descending on Him, okay? Doves are very selective on where they land. Okay? They only have one mate in life. They will not drink from a bubbling brook. They're peaceful. They're quiet. The Holy Spirit is that way. Can I tell you, He is an individual person. He is not a it. Come on now. He's not an it. It got all over me. Well, what got all over me? I heard that for years. He got all over. No, no, no. He is not a it. He is not a thing. He is the third person of the Trinity. He was right up there when creation took place. He is precious. And we must treat the Holy Spirit and the presence of God with reverence. And that's why we need to do these 9 things, because there's nothing important in your life than getting in the presence of God, not punching the clock, not making another bonus, not getting a greater commission. It is getting in the presence of God that God just bathes you and raptures you into His glory. And then you can represent Him the way that He needs to be represented in the world that you live in. Because the presence of God is just all in your life. Praise God. And that's why we teach, and that's why Miss Paula teaches like she does. We're attempting to raise the level of the body of Christ up in their faith and in their faith walk, in their word walk, in their praise, in their prayer, in their walk that they do in their journey. We're attempting to raise a level among all of us that, my goodness, if we can just learn that if we can dwell in our secret place long enough in the presence of God. Oh, my poor little wife got castigated 3 weeks ago, and one of the castigating statements this individual made to her was this: just because you get up early in the morning and you pray and you fast like you do, that doesn't mean that God's gonna love you more. It devastated my little blonde. That's a sad state to get in, coming from a church member, from a friend that tells you that. I'm not here to gain his love. I've got his love. No greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friends. I'm not here to gain God's love. I got it. I'm thankful that God loves me, Charlene. There is nothing I can do tonight that would save me no more if I went to heaven in the next 30 seconds. I cannot be no more saved than what I am right now. But I can tell you what I can do. I can stay more in the presence of my Father more. I can want to spend more time with my Father. I can because why? Because I'm His son. You do know that you are a son of God. We are, the Bible said, we are now the sons of God. Read your Bible. We are not, we're going to be, Melvin. We are now the sons of God. We're right this very moment. So if you're a son of God, you would really like to spend more time with your Father. And that's what this is all about. Investing more time. Do those nine things. I'm challenging you tonight. I know it rubs some of you tonight, but you probably needed to be rubbed. I told you a long time ago, I have not come here on Friday night to make you comfortable. I have come here to make you very uncomfortable. Why? Because God wants us to bring us into His hiding place, His pavilion. We talked about it, His presence, His tabernacle, His secret place. And can I, yes, I heard that, Holy Spirit. I'm going to end. God, Melvin Bunce, is a jealous God. He don't want us spending our time with anybody else. Not His time. His time is His time. Your time is your time, but His time, He is very jealous. He don't want that spread out with nobody else, because that's Father, Son. When I say Father, Son, it's a generic word. It's not leaving you girls out, okay? Okay, listen. Invest that time with your Father, because when we do that, then we live the life that Christ lived. And that's why Thomas Aquinas wrote the great book, The Imitation of Christ, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Because I and the Father, we're one. There's some things I may be noted by: demonstrative preacher, loud preacher, crazy preacher, great preacher, good preacher, bad preacher. I don't care about any of those titles, but one thing I want to know is that me and my Father, we're just like this. We're just like this. And I want to invest more time with Him. I want to learn to be unproductive and not always working that I can get in His presence. I want to learn to say, no, I can't do that. This is my prayer time. That's why for years I've not attempted to take early meetings, because that meeting is not as important as me meeting with my Father. I need to know what His agenda is and not their agenda. I need to know what His business is and not their business. I'll take care of their business. Good employers, good people do that. But You can't take the place of the closet. Praise God. This is good stuff tonight. This is good stuff tonight. I know it's kind of weighty, but it's all right. You're about to have dessert. You're going to make it. You'll be good. You're going to be all right. Yeah. We need this. The church needs this. Amen. Because we got a job to do. We got business of the King to do on this earth. We need to know what our assignment is, what our place is, when the time is, all of this. And the only time we understand this is when we get up there in the first part of 9911. Because that's what it is. It's 911. It's an emergency. And we're in that time. Praise God. Thank you, Father, tonight for revelation, for helping us, for touching us, anointing us. Thank you, Lord. My goodness, just, Lord, we have prayed this morning early and we pray tonight. Let your glory come and let your anointing. God, I have sensed the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the revelation that came during the class tonight. Thank you so much. It's not us, Lord. We cannot do it within ourselves. We must have you to do it, Father. We want to thank you for that tonight, Lord. Bless each and every one of us. Let these people take, let me take the 9 things that I've just read tonight. God, let us do them. God, we will learn to be more productive in the right way. Thank you for your word tonight. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Turn to someone right beside you and say, "Woo, he is serious about this stuff." Thank you, Miss Esther.
Change comes from getting uncomfortable.
Amen. Yeah.